Hey, welcome to my apartment, apartment 5H. My nosy neighbor is always here, Bianca.
Hi, everyone.
Like, anytime, like handsome guys come to my apartment, she always winds up popping up.
Where you go with that narrative?
At my apartment. I'm just keeping it real. Skiller Baby's here. What's up, man? How you feeling?
What's up?
Now, Bianca, my mind is confused when I see this young man, right?
Why?
Because I feel like he's from New York.
He has a New York.
No. I see him in New York more than anywhere, and it's like, you from New York now, man.
They say I'm from East Harlem.
Yeah, right. I'm telling you, right? I see him at least once a week here, and I'm just like, hey, he gotta live here.
I was gonna ask, because you were just here like last week. Like, you come here a lot.
It's my favorite place in the world.
Why is that?
Dominican chicks. Hello. Yeah.
What about the Puerto Ricans?
No, Dominicans. I'm just keeping it real.
Anyway.
I'm gonna let him answer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It reminds me of home.
Okay.
Just like, I could just be myself. I don't gotta be Skiller Baby all the time. Like, yo. New York got celebrities and stuff like that. And then it's like, we all can just be normal. You know, I could go be ghetto and go to the club. I could go to Harlem, I could go to Queens, hang with people that don't come from a background of just trying to, the celebrity stuff, like, it's just fun. And then the culture, like, y'all multifaceted on the culture side, the Dominicans.
Y'all got
pretty black girls too. Y'all got pretty everything.
We got pretty girls. Period.
Y'all got pretty everything.
Aw.
I like it here.
Do you feel that New York don't treat celebrities like celebrities?
I feel like y'all do, but y'all the mecca of hip hop. So it's
okay.
Like, especially in my celebrity, like I'm in hip hop culture, so like hip hop. It's the mecca of it, so it's celebrated here, it's rooted here, so it's not like it's new to y'all.
Okay.
Y'all breed us, so it's like, it's nothing new to y'all. If y'all see somebody, it's like, oh, so-and-so is just up the block, like, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, because I see you in the club, right? So he goes to the club and walks around the club, no security, no nothing, and it's just like, you know, and I'm just like, oh, he's very comfortable. You understand what I'm saying?
That's because everybody in New York thinks they're a celebrity, too.
So. Maybe, okay. Maybe, okay.
I feel so welcome here. Every time I'm here, I got a lot of friends here. We all go out. I don't need them to feel like I feel like I'm better than them. Mm-hmm. We all protect each other. If they're going to fight, I'm going to fight. If I'm going to fight, they're going to fight. So it's like, I don't really need to walk around with security.
I love New York, the
energy is good.
When I say the security part, I'm not saying that a person need it. It's just that sometimes people could be annoying. It could be women that's annoying or people want pictures that's annoying. Like, you know, not as far as fearful of somebody harming you. But I always tell people, me doing television, and I say there's like five cities that people don't care. And I tell them it's Atlanta, Miami, L.A., New York, and maybe Chicago. Like, they don't care. You know, you got to damn near be Hov and Beyonce for people to care. And, you know, and I know that you are very popular, but I commend you, and I see you, and I say, yo, he's walking around, like, jumping on the bar, you know, like, giving
jumping on bars?
100%. Then you going to act like he has it, right?
Because he's so calm, right? Okay. Okay.
You understand that? Like,
I
very comfortable.
Like, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Behind the bar, you know, with the bartenders. You understand? Like, very comfortable.
I think it's just like the relationships I built here.
Okay.
The relationships I've been here makes me comfortable.
Like,
I'm cool with the club owners. I'm cool with the promoters. I'm cool with the bartenders. Like, these are my friends. Like, so we have conversations outside of me being outside. Like, some of these people have been to my home, some of these people I've invited to Detroit, like, so that's what makes me comfortable around them. And it's aggressive here, but Detroit aggressive, so when people be like, damn, New York so aggressive, I'm comfortable with that. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't grow up soft, so like, it'd be cool to me. And then I like it because like everybody just unapologetically themselves here.
Okay.
And I can't be around people that's trying to fake it. I like people that's just gonna be themselves. Mm. And everybody know the New York girls, the New York guys, like whatever that on their chest, they saying it.
Okay.
So it's not like fake. That's what I like for real.
I've been to Detroit a handful of times. Mm-hmm. And one thing I cannot figure out is the music that y'all play, y'all like it sped fast. Why?
I don't know.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
I can't tell you that.
So,
but our beats selection are like that. Like, I don't know. People like just being turned up in Detroit. Mm-hmm. It's a fast lifestyle we live, though.
So me saying that to you, let's say you any song that you know is sped up to like sound like Chipmunks.
Well, that's a trend too with like the newer rappers. Like everyone has a regular version of a song and a sped up version of a song.
Not in the nightclub though.
Not in the nightclub.
Yeah, you're like sped up.
Yeah, in the nightclub, people want to. That's how you want to. We don't really want to be there on slow timing. Like uh-huh. We want to be there in their like turn. So that's how all our beats are. But it's a hard, gritty city. So mm-hmm. that's how we live fast, like fast money, all that type of stuff. So that's how the beats end up like that, though.
Do you feel that Detroit is the capital of the Midwest?
For sure.
Okay, why?
I feel like a lot of trends come from us.
Okay.
That's why I feel like it's the capital of the Midwest, because we real trendy and like you can find a Detroit person anywhere in the world. Like we go everywhere, go mm-hmm. hustle, go live. You go anywhere in the world and find a Detroit guy, for sure.
What's the difference between East Detroit and West Detroit? What part
I'm
of Detroit
from
you
west
from?
West side.
West side. Okay.
He's from the east side.
Okay.
So
that's why he's looking at you like that. Yo, you better get it right. You better get it right. I'm listening.
I feel like, but the east siders just say the opposite. I feel like the west side is more clean cut. East side, you would find 4 trap houses, 3 abandoned houses on 1 block, 1 good house, somebody mm-hmm. living in. All of them, though.
Mm-hmm.
West side, every neighborhood is probably like 1 or 2 houses that's abandoned, and it's more clean. They got bushes and wild bushes growing on their side and stuff. And then on the east side, you could go, your cousin will be living right here, and you living right here, and y'all beefing. Like
on the east side.
It's nuts over there. Like, mm-hmm. They crazy. And they like, they got gangbang shit going on and stuff. We don't do that on the west side.
On the west side, no. Okay.
We don't do that on the west side.
So I want to go to the west side. I don't want to go to the east side if I visit.
No, you want to have fun on the east side. It depends on what type of... I never hang on the west side no more. I hang on the east side. But everybody think I'm from the east side because I have more fun over there. They more accepting because on the east side, they grew up gritty and like... Your parents might have had money on the east side, but you grew up or you might have grew up good, but your daddy down there selling dope. Like, that's okay. How east side is. Like,
mm-hmm.
your daddy in the trap house every day, you wouldn't even know it until mm-hmm. you got older. Like, that's how the east side is. West side, like, we just grew up nice. I ain't gonna lie. We grew up nice.
Well, that's real then.
Do you feel that you are the leader of the new generation of Detroit hip hop?
I don't know. I would like people to give me that title. I don't want to give myself
okay.
that title. Do I think I'm at the forefront of like Detroit right now? Yes, I do. But I'm not going to say I'm leading. That's because we got a lot of good rappers and a lot of people that's doing good things in their own way. But I do think I have something to do with it. I do think I etched my name in hip hop. Like when it comes to Detroit, I think I'm a legend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was it your strategy to branch out and do like features and connections with artists from everywhere? Because every time I'm just like, Skillet Baby with this artist, this artist, this artist. Like, it's like you have connections, and I'm using more recent times with me. When I came in, he was like, OG, so you know that I've been around for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So I'll use like a T Grizzly. I remember from, you know, when he first got out of jail from stealing some Rolexes or some shit like that, for something he did, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, it was kind of hard for him to branch out and learn that, all right, let me do this song with this guy from Philly. Let me do this song, this, you know, from Miami. Let me do from, you know, just to branch out of Detroit. Mm-hmm. But I see that formula you already have in you, was that planned?
Definitely, because I really sat back and really studied music, the business, before mm-hmm. I started putting out music, because I didn't want to get fucked over. So I really had just sat back, tried to get all my business in order, all my accounts, everything as far as publishing and all that before I put out music. I got that done. After I got that done, I came up with a way to strategize to what would work for me mm-hmm. because I seen so many people fail at it. I seen so many people succeed at it, then fail at it.
Okay.
Like, Detroit has a ceiling. And I think that's because we don't branch out. We don't try to be multifaceted when it comes to making different types of music or doing different sounds. I think we go with what works for us, mm-hmm. what's familiar, and it's a ceiling on that.
Okay.
See how you like, yeah, everything they got is sped up. So it's like, it's a ceiling on that. Some people like it, some people love it, some people like, all right, it's just okay. Mm-hmm. But with anything, with buying houses, doing real estate, doing a restaurant, you ain't gonna make no money for real. You would make some money at one spot, but you ain't gonna make no real money till you just captivate everywhere. Like, you gotta go to Philly, you gotta go to Cali, you gotta make your restaurant in Oklahoma.
Okay.
Now you getting all these bags from everywhere, mm-hmm. and all these people from everywhere are your customers and your fans. So,
well, how did you do that?
So it's relationships that I built that really had me in tune with people that I was already cool with.
How did you get cool with them? Being from Detroit, how you get cool with them? So, 20-something-year-old kid, how you get cool with people in different towns, in Texas, in
Yeah, because I want to ask, Orleans. When did you start even coming back and forth to New York City like that? I was
going to
ask that.
When did I?
If I you forgot. Could talk about it.
I forgot when the first time I came to New York, mm-hmm. but I met T.J. Porter the first time I came to New York. And it'd be simple stuff like that, because I don't go into a room like aggressive and like trying to be Big Bad Wolf. I'm going mm-hmm. into the room like, all right, I'm Skilla, nice to meet you. And if I like with you, I don't mind telling you, like, I'm a fan of you. Mm-hmm. So when I do that, it fuck people up. They think I'm supposed to be thinking I'm just on my high horse, but I'm mm-hmm. not. Because I watch you guys on TV, and I grew up on this type of stuff, so it's mm-hmm. like, even with the BET experiences and stuff like that, I'm appreciative of it because it reminds me of my childhood. So when I'm doing this stuff, I'm really doing it in the humblest way possible. Like, I'm humbled to be here. So that's how I build my relationships. And I think people just take a liking to me first, and
okay.
then they tune into my music.
Okay. That makes sense, because a lot of people, especially in this industry, have big egos. Like, whether they just came in, they've been doing this. And sometimes that kind of, like, blocks your blessings in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm. I done had, like, even when it, not when it come to, like, music and stuff, like, other stuff, I done had females, people, niggas, all type of people tell me, like, from the internet perspective, I look like I'm standoffish, and I, like, I got this one, like, persona, but when mm-hmm. you meet me, it's like, damn, it's a whole different aura. And it's like genuine and unfriendly, like, so I like to give that off, because I feel like relationships are more worth more than money to me. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if I ever, even like last year, I felt like I was steaming hot. This year, people still feel like I'm hot, but I feel like I done died down a little bit. But my relationships keep me going.
Got you. Why do you feel like you died down?
You know, like, you be having some of the hottest records ever, and then, like, you go into a slump, and then you feel like, all right, boom, I'm died down, but people still love you. Mm-hmm. But you feel stagnant. Like, you feel like, all right, I'm supposed to, you feel me? Mm-hmm. Smash the pedal. But I learned, especially with what we doing, it's like people get their turns. Like, you might get your turn here, then you wait a couple months or a year or maybe 2 years, and then you smash again, like, you know?
Okay.
So it's just me having to learn to pace myself.
When you make music, do you make music to last, or do you make it for the current time? Why I ask that, we have, like, a lot of conversations amongst us DJs, and the big thing now is the promoters, or they say, like, the younger generation concerts don't sell out like it used to, but these older people, let's say, like, the Ashantis, the 50s, the Drew Hill, you know, they're, you know, the older generations, they're selling concerts out because they have catalogs. Whereas, you know, the new generation now is like, they have a song that's for the moment, you just forget about it. So do you come in trying to make songs that's gonna last or for the moment?
I came
you being
in,
young.
I came in trying to make songs that was gonna last.
Mm-hmm.
Then I fucked up, I got a song that was popular. So I kept trying to use that formula. And then that wasn't really what I was supposed to do. I'm supposed to be trying to make music.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just like cooking. If you put your love into it, that's what you doing it for, to put your love, because you love to cook and you want people to be happy when they eat your food. Not just like, all right, this tastes good, but it's going to make my stomach hurt. Like, you feel me? So I had to figure that out, and now I'm back to making music that I really love to make. And I really think people not selling out because they not building with their fans. Like,
okay,
we not building. Like, that's what I'm trying to do, to where I'm trying to build with my fans. Like, people try to skip from 500 cap and then go to 15,000 cap when it's a process for everybody.
Okay.
And plus, the newer generation, we not putting on shows. So if I go, even if you do got a hot song, I see you and you happen to sell out a $6,000 cap theater, or maybe a 10,000 arena, you're not putting on a show for me. So I'm only coming for this one time.
Like, okay.
This shit was boring when I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love you, but I can listen to this shit in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ain't putting no thought process. You just come up stage and you yelling at me. You ain't got no dancers there. You ain't got no props. I'm going to Usher. I went to Usher concert. I went to Kendrick concert. I went to Travis Scott actually had me on the last leg of his tour. Like, and I'm watching these people put shows together.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me a whole different perspective of how we got to go about this.
That was, like, one of your shorties that Usher put the cherry in her mouth?
No.
I'm just fucking like that. How would you feel if your shorty, like, Usher put the cherry in your shorty mouth? You still would fuck her the next day?
How close am I to a shorty, though?
It's your chick.
It's my girl.
Yeah.
My girl wouldn't did that.
She ain't doing that.
No. You know what video we're referring to, right?
He do that every day.
He do that
every show.
No, but there was one that stuck out.
He do that every show.
She was just like, excuse my French, but like teabagging the cherry.
See, it depends on how it's done, though. Like, if it's all fun, part of the show, all right. Because I'm not really insecure. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it.
Okay.
I wouldn't like
it. So you cool with your shorty getting teabagged with a cherry by Usher? I'm just asking a question. I'm just.
When you say teabag, it makes.
I mean, it kind of was like.
I mean, that's the truth, though. Like, your shorty in the crowd, and Usher teabagging your shorty with the cherry, and then you go home with her, or you leaving her.
If Usher walked up to my shorty
at the concert,
not doing it.
But at the concert, but let's say she did. But let's say she did, right?
If she did, I just chill. I'm way too cool for that. Like,
let me ask you a question.
Would you cheat on her?
No, if she did, I would just chill.
I'm
too cool.
But let me ask you a question. Would you go home with her? Would you make her take an Uber, or you take an Uber home and let her take the car? Uh-huh. Like, what? Like, leaving the concert, would you leave with her?
He's petty. That's why he's asking. Because
I just want to know.
I'm this type of petty, though. When Usher did that to her, I'm about to go to my favorite girl artist concert and be in the front row doing some fanned out stuff.
Okay, do the same thing. Okay, cool.
I was
using the get back.
Now I'm about to be in the hot seat getting the lap dance.
And so you're doing the get back?
I don't think it's get back. I just think that's what our relationship going to. Oh, okay. We just fun. It's fun. Like, you feel
what's fair is fair.
It's fair. Like,
hello? Just get back, but okay.
No, that's
it's
fair. What's fair is fair.
We just, I see that we open the gates for that. It's not get back. I didn't really think we were doing this, but since we doing it, I can have fun too.
That's kind of valid.
Like, and people will judge me for this, but depending on what I'm with a person for, I wouldn't even leave if they cheated on me, because I might be with you for happiness. I might not be with you because I don't think you're going to cheat on me. You might cheat on me and still make me happy. You might be doing something for me that somebody else won't do.
Wait.
I agree.
First of all,
I agree.
You're a liar.
No, I'm not. I agree.
You're a liar.
How you figure?
If someone cheated on him and he was with them for happiness, he would still stay with them.
I agree.
Because you, for one, yo, you like having sex with you might not be the reason that you're making me happy. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I might be with you for stability. I might be with you because you understand me. Everything ain't about it. All about sex. So it's like, if I'm with you and you genuine, I done been through that at a young age to where like, all right, I learned this early in high school. I'm feeling this girl. Mm-hmm. I never even had sex with her. She made me happy. But I found out she had sex with another nigga, and I'm like, damn, I felt like that was cheating. But the whole time I let her go based off what society taught me, and she genuinely made me happy with like best friends. We cool. So I didn't want to let her go. But I let her go based off what society. I wasn't even with her for sex. I never had sex with her. She just made me happy.
I mean, that's interesting, because most men don't leave a female. Are you kidding me? If a female cheated on a man, come on. We know we have these conversations online
I think you're not sitting and talking to men like you are today. You understand? He said something important. He said he wasn't with the girl for sex. He was with her for him. She made him happy. So now the cheating part to him may be if she stops making him happy. Right? That's where the cheating part, or if she stops making him happy and making another man happy. That's where he would probably get upset. But that would be probably the cheating part. He just said cheating ain't always necessarily her having intercourse with someone else.
Well, cheating can be emotional, physical, like,
and I think like society make us live by these certain rules that might not apply to us.
Mm-hmm. That I agree with.
Those are rules. Those are laws. I don't have to live by those rules.
Correct.
Those are just rules that society taught us. So that's just like if we talking and we agree that we can see other people, like, it's the same thing. It's about what you come to agreement with.
Like, that's,
you
know, different though. That's like, okay, you do you, I do me, and we're still together, but versus we together still, and you cheat on me.
If you cheat on me, you still might make me happy. So you gotta think, some people cheat and they got businesses together. They got all this stuff going on. So if I leave you, then my business go down the drain. Then what?
I think it depends on how much you're invested.
Now you just, as a man, you just think of with your emotions. And I wasn't taught, that's how what women do. As a man, I'm supposed to be a leader. I'm supposed to be a thinker. Mm-hmm. So in every situation, even when my emotions telling me to do one thing, I think with my brain. So like, maybe you did cheat on me. Maybe I will back off on you and take my feelings out of this, and I could go into this situation like, all right, she cheated. So maybe I can't trust her with this. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'm gonna take my feelings out of it, and we just gonna deal with each other this way. But you still make me happy. We still got businesses together. We still growing together. We helping each other. Why would I leave?
That's interesting. I've never heard a man say that.
Well, you're hearing him, and I'm saying I agree.
You would not stay with a woman if she cheated on you.
Well, you didn't hear what the man said, and that's the problem with women. A lot of times, you're not paying attention.
I am paying attention.
Listen again, what he said.
It depends on how much you're invested.
So he wasn't there for the sexual part. He was there because of the happiness. So now it's a difference if he was with a woman for a sexual part, and then she start cheating and smashing other people. You understand? The reason he was, whatever relationship he was in, was because of the way she made him feel as far as being happy.
Right, but her cheating can make you unhappy.
Women do that a lot, right? So women are...
Women do what
be
a lot?
With a man for stability.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
A woman will
yes,
be with do. A man for stability.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to let another woman have their spot. You feel me?
A lot of women do think that way,
even
yes.
if they're like, are he dealing with other women? Y'all are smart. Like, I ain't gonna lie. I learned this from women. Like, y'all are smart. So it's like, even if a man is dealing with another woman, you're not gonna mess up what you got going on, your stability. He might be invested in your business. He might have mentally taught you something that you never learned from another guy. Like, you can be with a person for different reasons other than sex. You might have taught
yes.
me something that... You might have got me out of space so dark that I just love you forever. And it's right. not about everything that... I think the internet and all that, people make you feel like you got to live by these rules. But I don't deal with people for, like, all right, she just... Some of the girls, like, they say I deal with all pretty girls and stuff. But some of the girls I'm not dealing with just because they pretty. Your mental got to be right there. Like, we got to be locked in on a space to where, like, a lot of pretty girls irritate me, like, just because that conversation is so shallow.
Right.
I might be with you strictly for the conversations that we have. I might learn something every time we talk.
That's valid.
So I'm not living by society norms, you know? And I think any man that been through enough, especially with women, would agree. It's like, once you done dealt with so many people and you done had sex so many times, it's like, all right, some people I'm not there for sex. Like, you feel me?
Yeah.
I can find a sexual partner that make me happy, you know? You might make me happy at home. I might only be comfortable. Because men, like real men that really been through stuff, we only got one or two people that we trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So at home, I might only trust you. And I might need this at home. Like, you know,
yeah.
I ain't about to give all my codes and shit to every girl that I deal with. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. And I don't want to keep starting over. So it's that type of thing.
I mean, I would hear someone older usually say everything you just said. You're pretty wise because you're really young to see. Usually young people don't give a fuck. They be like, well, next. But you see value in people.
For sure.
Which is important. Speaking of value, I wanted to touch on something really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about like building with your fans, which is important, and you were fan voted on the XXL cover.
Mm.
But you also said that you felt like maybe it could have been like ripped. What was the you had an interview recently and you were talking about the cover, right?
Oh yeah.
Was it like maybe rigged or something? Like what were your emotions about that? Let's talk about it.
Like...
And I'm bringing it up because, you know, in transparency, like, XXL is the family. I worked there for 6 years as the managing editor.
I love XXL.
So
I just think...
seeing that clip, some of those staff members may have a different POV.
No, I love XXL. I'm glad I was voted onto there. I'm glad that you guys had me. I just feel like a lot of it is built off relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. But it takes... someone, like, all right, I've been doing acting classes. I've been getting strictly off relationships. I done had a self-tape for Voltron, another big show that I had to sign an NDA for. Strictly off relationships, and I'll be around actors that act way better than me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things are built off relationships, and I be feeling like, all right, a person like these will get slighted, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like, for the last 2-3 years, he's been putting up so many numbers that he deserved to be on XXL. But it's a couple people on the cover that I didn't feel like deserve it. And I would never say their name out loud because I don't want to take that shine from them.
Nice.
And I don't want them to feel like mm-hmm. I'm hating on them, because we all work hard, don't get me wrong. And we all deserve to live our dreams out. But numbers is numbers. Numbers don't lie. So a person might, like, that's why I say I got fan voted in.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the fans actually want to see me there, you know? And that's where it comes with building with your fans. I be feeling like some people might just know somebody that know somebody else that owes somebody a favor, and maybe that's just how it goes. But I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying somebody else might have deserved it more just strictly off the work that they put in and the numbers that they put up. You can't argue with numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I it's definitely not favor for a favor, though. I'll say that because I was, like, involved in the process for a long time. So it's definitely, like, not, oh, well, this person did me a favor, so let me put this person on. Not for that, definitely not for the covers, you know what I mean? Like, they don't maneuver that way, you know what I'm saying? Don't look at me like that. I see the eye contact you're giving me. Don't look at me like that.
I've seen people on the cover that I went to their YouTube, and they're getting 1,500 views.
But it doesn't necessarily...
I'm looking at this like, come on, man.
Well, see, so here's the thing,
y'all
right?
Y'all know V's then had 3 plaques this year.
Okay, but see, so here's the thing. So now I'm going to bring this up. A few years ago, we had people on the cover. Oh, it's all about numbers. It's all about numbers. What about the talent? What about the talent? Then they go with people that they think they have talent, not necessarily the numbers. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. How are you going to deny that? It's kind of like you can't really win in a situation like that.
I don't want to talk about XXL, but you was there. You was there, and you talk about talent, and you was there. You was there with me. I love you.
Don't do that. I will say,
you
know.
You was there. So we ain't going to talk about talent and all this, but you
But you
got
to have a mix. You got to have a mix. It's a mix of talent and numbers.
So you can't tell me it's based off all talent because you was there.
Yeah, but also some people are talented. But the fans, you know, fans don't fuck with them like that. Like, how many people have we seen that they are talented and their numbers don't match the talent?
I don't really mind how y'all do it, right? I was just strictly going off my opinion.
I wasn't involved in this cover. Let me be frank. I freelance for them now. It's been 2 years. I was there to facilitate a couple things, but that's
it. Doesn't matter. I'm a nobody, you know? I'm not saying my opinion matters. They asked me a question.
Yeah.
I answered it.
I wanted to know a little more about it because.
To be mad about what I'm saying. And I'm just telling you what I used to look at XXL for. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
My favorite thing was the freestyle. So that's the only thing I've been disappointed in. You know?
Yeah.
That's the only thing. XXL, don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to scold y'all about nothing. I'm just giving my opinion based off a question that I was asked.
And listen, and staff members do get disappointed too. Sometimes they don't know someone's not going to do the freestyle until the day of. You'll be surprised. You know, there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes, and it's like, at that point in time, what you're going to do? You're going to say, oh, you're not going to do the freestyle. You can't be on the cover, like, the day of the shoot. It's disappointing.
I feel bad for the staff members because I feel like some of these artists are making a mockery of the culture that I love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm saying that. Mm-hmm. Some of the artists are making a mockery of it.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
You know, it's like they poking fun at a culture that I grew up on, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like New York is the mecca of hip-hop. So if I feel like that, that means some of the artists that I've listened to, that I paid attention to, they wouldn't stand for this, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can't just... Somebody asks me a question that I'm not going to answer with the best of my ability because I'm going into this attacking it with the best of my ability. When I got voted to be on XXL, I instantly went to the drawing board, like, you know? Mm-hmm. So I ain't going into this just like, I'm going into this like, okay, they not respecting the culture that I love. Mm-hmm. Feel me?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying, and it's not on XXL. I'm saying these artists are not respecting the culture that I love. They not going into it with the... I was telling myself about the food stuff. You're not making this food with the intent to everybody being full and healthy.
You're putting your love into it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't respect that.
No, I'm glad you're speaking on it because I feel like, you know, if someone saw, like, the headline of the clips, like, it can be misconstrued. So I'm glad that you spoke on it because this perspective, like, you... diving into it, you know, it's different from, I think, the point of view that you would see if someone came across your interviews and you said something like that. You know what I'm saying?
I just feel like they disrespecting our culture, and I feel like that's why they was talking about our music at an all-time low. And maybe, because I got into a point to where I was chasing numbers and I wasn't doing it with love. So I can't fault everybody for doing it because it's so easy to do it, especially with the time we in and all the artificial numbers that people right. putting up and stuff like that. But right. I think it's about time that we respect our culture again, because I feel like that's disrespectful to the place like New York, like I said, that mm-hmm. is like my second home. And I felt like that before I came to New York, just off based off all the artists y'all breed and mm-hmm. the culture y'all have. And it's just everything. And I don't like it. I don't respect it.
I love the fact that you're a newer artist and you still feel like, you know, like the value of hip hop, right? Like as far as like lyrics and putting your love into it. Because I think a lot of artists in your age range, they don't really care about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great that you're saying something like that. That's your point of view and that you really love it that much, that you kind of like caping for the culture in a sense. Mm-hmm. So glad we cleared that up.
You're so mad about, oh, double XL.
I did not come in here like that. Stop. No, but I think, you know, people get caught up in like clips, like what you get.
I always get clickbaited though.
Huh?
I always get clickbaited.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I said something on a Revolt show where I was like, older guys shouldn't be having one foot in the streets or one foot in the in rap, and like that's for young guys. And they took it and said, yeah, Skilla Baby said old people shouldn't rap.
Well, that's why I wanted to give you the platform and the time to like really talk about it, because things do get cut up, clickbait, like, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted you to clear the air.
Cut this up and clickbait
it. Stop, because I'd be cutting the stuff up and I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't think that you would, but maybe somebody else.
But people would.
Yeah, she would. Nah, just I make you say it right out, so I ain't worried about it. Like you just said that you would let your shorty get teabagged by Usher with cherries and you would go home with her. You said that. That's what you said. You said that. You said yeah, but you said you would do it back to her. But you said you would do that. That's what you said, and I was just like, okay, cool. Now me,
I'm not gonna do you like that.
Me, she'd be taking an Uber home. I probably still would rock with her, but I'd let her take an Uber home. You gotta take an Uber home. You gotta take that L.
I don't think my shorty would do it, but you just gotta know once my favorite artist come, I'm be in the hot seat.
Get hello. A lap dance. Well, in a relationship, right, how long is too long to not have sex with your partner?
I don't know, because I done had first day sex, and I done had 2 months, 3 months later sex, so.
I'm talking about you dating someone now, not the first time you smash. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about this is your girl.
So between times.
Yes.
If I'm on the road, it might be a month before I see my girl, so I don't really know like what's too long. Like, I feel like every time I see my girl, I'm supposed to be getting that for real.
Do you think she would be upset if you was on the road taking care of your needs with someone else? One off.
Every girl would.
Okay.
Unless y'all agree to that, like, all right, baby, can I get off real quick? Maybe.
Like one off, like, yo, I just saw that. What's that? There's no attachments, no nothing.
I feel like if y'all discuss that, she wouldn't feel bad. But if you don't discuss it, I feel like every girl again.
Do you ever have those discussions?
Do I have them discussions? I keep my personal life personal, so.
Good answer. Good answer.
Okay. I'm not trying to jam them up. I'm trying to help other people out there to have those conversations, because a friend of mine, he's married, right? And his wife tells me, like, yo, if he go away with you or go on the road, whatever, he can get his dick sucked. But she said, that's it. He can't smash, no nothing. And I was like, boy, that's very nice. And she was like, yeah, because that's not too, you know, that's just him getting his da-da-da. He said, once he start penetrating the girl, then that's when it's crossing the line. So I don't think that we as men, sometimes we might be scared to even ask those things. We, like you said, we may not think that she might not be for it, and she might be for it.
I ain't gonna lie, but that's where it crossed the line to me. If like you cheat on me and you like you had sex with another dude, all right, boom. But once you start putting the mouth out kiss on something, like you tripping.
What if the guy just went down on your girl, but that was it? She just got the thing and pushed him over like he broke out.
She must think she me, like, she, you think you play her like that, for real. She think she me, for real, but.
But wait, didn't you just say she can have sex, she just can't?
But oral sex is a different thing. Like, don't come
so
home
she,
kissing me.
She can't give or receive.
I ain't about to be giving rules about what you can and do. I'm just saying, don't go putting your mouth on somebody's thing and then come kiss me.
No, I agree. That's nasty work.
You
feel
me?
I agree. Nasty. Like, it can be very nasty.
That's a no-go. Mm-hmm. I absolutely will not deal with that. I ain't dealing with that.
I agree.
Absolutely. But what if you meet a chick and, you know, a lot of chicks, let's say you in New York now, a lot of chicks that you may just meet, they got to have a boyfriend or somebody that they deal with.
I ain't kissing them in the mouth.
Got you. On the neck. You the neck guy.
No, I just ain't go. I ain't that freaky to where when I first meet you, I want to be freaky either.
Okay. I think that's great.
Are.
Yeah. Very good.
I ain't really with that. Like, yeah, I'm freaky when I get freaky, but I ain't about to just jump off and be freaky with nobody.
Mm. I love that. Very wild. Good. Because there are some men out here that just get, like, immediately freaky. That's a red flag for me, because that means you're doing this to just everybody. I don't want it. I'm good.
That's wild.
It is wild. Mm-mm. There's men out here that kiss anybody, put anybody's toes in their mouth. Like, they don't care.
The toes in the mouth, crazy. That's like.
Yeah. Toes in the mouth.
Toes in the mouth, crazy.
Yeah.
They be doing that.
They be doing that.
In Puerto Rico?
No, in New York City. In New York City, right here. Not Puerto Rico, in New York City.
He's in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
I have seen it.
You know that for a fact?
I know that for a fact.
Multiple times.
Maybe two or three times.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Maybe two. Anyway, so tell us about your tape. You just dropped CM3, right?
Uh-huh.
So tell us about it.
CM3.
What you got on there?
It's short for crack music. I got
crack music.
Crack music, just like I want it to be like a metaphor for like something that's just like you hooked on, like, you
okay.
know, like it's addicting. So I want music that I felt like was addicting to be on there, that had replay value. I got Tootsie on there, T Grizzly, Easy, Honcho, Forbet. I just wanted to be a little different, but a little more gritty. Cause I was doing a lot of softer music, and I just wanted to feed my core fans that I grew up with. Like, so I just was like, all right, boom, I'm gonna do this tape. I wanted to lead to my album that I want to drop at the beginning of the year. It's gonna be called The Price of Fame.
So these are like throwaway songs?
They not necessarily throwaway songs, but. It's a project I put, you know, the fourth quarter, it'd be hard to get music out of people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wanted to go into the fourth quarter, and that led me, I want my fourth quarter to lead me into my first quarter.
Got you.
So I just put a project together that I thought would have replay value.
That reminds me of kind of like how Crack Music 3, it reminds me of like a French title, like a mixtape title, like how he had like Coke Boys and all that. You're cool with French, right?
Mm-hmm. That's my guy.
Because I feel like, again, it's like a similarity as far as like the tape name.
Friendship, yeah. He like, every time he see me, he show me love, he pop out. Like, when I had a show in New York one time, he popped out. Like, I fuck with French. And I like the fact that he still have a relationship with the younger artists, and he don't have to.
Yeah, he's pretty like he doesn't even try too hard. Like, it just comes naturally to him. Like, he mm-hmm. just be outside, chill.
Yeah, naturally, he a good guy. Like, I get genuine good vibes from it. So that's what I like about artists the most. That's what make me, because I've been disappointed by artists. So when I meet, like, people that I call OG or something like that, and they genuinely a good person, that sit well with me.
What's the most, you don't have to say the name, obviously, but what's, like, been the most disappointing situation that you've been in meeting an artist that you looked up to?
They mindset, like, I was just talking, there was the way someone was, couple artists was talking about money and how they just sign anything and stuff like that. It just threw me off. Like, mm-hmm. I don't go into doing business like that. I feel like that's why a lot of people in bad situations based off conversation I had.
And you have him, sorry.
Go ahead.
I want to know a little more about his album.
Okay.
So you're saying you're dropping it at the top of next year?
Mm-hmm.
So who do you have on there? Can you tell?
I can't really say for sure because clearances got to go through and stuff like that. Pretty sure I had Big Sean on there. I'm trying to get Chris Brown on the record that I got with Big Sean.
You and Chris Brown would be dope.
I got a record with Monica I'm working on.
What you know about Monica? What do you know about Monica?
Oh,
okay. Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah. I'm trying. Monica, Chris Brown, and Big Sean. I got a record with A Boogie I'm going to put on there. There's a few artists that I got on there. I can't name them off the top of my head.
Just those alone sounds a nice lineup.
So I'm trying to get them down. Those records done. I got the A Boogie record done. Big Sean sending me his verse back. I'm waiting on Chris Brown and Monica. So I'm just trying to approach this with real feel good music. Like I want it to be timeless. So I'm gonna take my time with it. But I want it to just be real feel good. I got this record with T-Pain I'm trying to put on there.
Oof. Okay. We're looking forward to that.
It's gonna be hard.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, man.
Appreciate you.
You satisfied?
Yes, I'm satisfied. I got all my questions
out. Okay, good.
You still my friend, right?
Yeah, we locked in.
Hello.
You tried to put me in a hot seat, but we locked in.
I did it nicely.
You put me in a hot seat.
I did it nicely.
I love XXL.
Apartment 5H. Ah.